I'm excited about what God is doing. God is awesome, and I'm telling you, we serve an awesome, awesome God. So I'm going to get a couple of things out of the way real quick. I just put together last year, actually I'm going from here to Virginia. I'm flying out this afternoon or later this afternoon, tonight actually, because I'm working on putting together a brand new school of Holy Spirit evangelism, which is really needed in the body of Christ. We need to do things by the Spirit of God. And so I'm going there to do it, and they will be a whole school of ministry on DVD and CDs, and they'll be going for $35 for the CDs and $45 for the DVDs. But when we did it, these are unedited, so you're actually going to get 3 or 4 extra tapes because I'm not putting all of it into the school. So I have 2 packs left. That's it. And they're going for $10. And they're on the book table. And then after that, they're going to be all done in their little jackets and really nice. I also want to talk about it is time to disciple. It is time for us to disciple the body of Christ. First of all, we need to disciple the church. And I'm no offense, please, but I asked a pastor the other day, not your pastor, but another pastor, and I said, what do you see for next year? Oh, we had dinner like before Christmas. So what do you see for next year? And he said, well, which I'm in agreement with, he says, the church needs to get saved. Yeah. And what we know, we know everybody's saved, but God is saying it's time for the church to get in position. It's time for us to find out our niche, no matter what it is. And my message this morning, which is for this church, because I've been preaching and I'm not preaching this to other churches. I'm preaching it to this church. And the word of God is change and positioning for glory. So if you're going to title this tape, it's Positioning for the Glory and the Outpouring to a Magnitude that Has Not Been Seen or Recorded on Planet Earth. Amen. So much for the book table. Now I'm not going to go on that because I want to get on to the message. I do want to let you know that I have a school of ministry, and if you feel in your heart, because after you hear this message, you're going to want to find your spot in the body of Christ. You want to find what you're supposed to do here in the local church and whatever this church puts their hands to do. You need to find position. And so you might want to go to the school of ministry, which I have in California, which later I'll be doing one East Coast, West Coast. But right now it's in California. And it will change your life. Every single person that's come, this will be my 4th school doing it, intense school, has gone knowing the direction and the calling of God. Not one person has come to this school and not gone left without knowing where they're going, what God wants, and we've even laid out, you know, some plans and steps for them to get into it. Baby steps lead to big steps. Anyway, Val, that has come with me, stand up, will be at the book table, and she will help you. And now I can't wait to get on to the message here. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Almighty God, for you are an awesome God. And we thank you for signs and wonders and miracles to happen this morning through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. We promise to give all praise and all glory to you, Almighty God, for you alone are worthy of all our praise. We exalt you, Almighty God. We say, Holy Spirit, have your will and have your way in this sanctuary. Visit us in a very, very special way. Angels of God, you do what you're supposed to do. And I will do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. And you, Almighty God, will get all the glory. We thank you, Jesus, that you are here in the midst of us. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. So that people this day will be healed, delivered, and set free. And you have already spoke to me that people will be set free this morning. And lives will be changed this morning. So I thank you that, Jesus, you are here. And you will touch and heal people. Just like you did 2,000 years ago. Because there is no difference in time. And we give you praise and glory already in advance for the things that will be done in this service. And everyone said amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to, hold on, let me get to it, to Zechariah chapter 4. And I'm not really preaching anything really profound, except God's got a different flavor to it. that is for this church and this congregation. Okay, Zechariah, if I got it right, Z-E-C-H. I always get Zephaniah and Zechariah mixed up. Okay, y'all there? Chapter 4, I guess it'd help if I tell you the chapter. Chapter 4, verse 6. Y'all there? So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the cornerstone with the shout of grace, grace to it." Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit. You see, there has been mountains that have tried to block this church in the past. There has been mountains that have tried to block you in getting to the next level with God. There has been mountains that may be a mountain of sickness. There might be a mountain of depression. There might be a mountain that you're worried about because your children don't know Jesus. And there's also mountains that will come against congregations and churches to try to keep them from going to another level. Are you all following me? And from stepping into your gifts and calling. But God is the cornerstone. God is the cornerstone. And that, what is God? God is grace. It is his grace and his goodness and his mercy that leads man to repentance. It is God's grace that you are here in this congregation today knowing Jesus Christ. Because you could have been born somewhere where there's no grace and you would have never heard the name of Jesus. It is God's grace that you are here. It's God's grace that your pastors are sitting here. It's God's grace that there's other pastors sitting in here. And there are people that are evangelists and pastors and teachers that don't even know they are yet. But God will bring them there through his grace and through his mercy. So what we need to do is shout to the mountains. Speak to the mountains. And this church has been faithful. And when you speak to the mountains, things that will try to hinder you from getting into the perfect plan of God will hinder you and sometimes be delayed. You see, the devil has a way to delay things. But when it's God's perfect timing and you settle in and start praying and you speak to those mountains that try to stop, then all of a sudden everything that God has for you starts unfolding. And it just starts falling in place and falling in place and falling in place and falling in place because it's not by might. You see, we can do things by the flesh. We can try to figure out where our ministry is supposed to do, how we're going to do this, how we're going to build a building, how we're going to afford to do this, how we're going to afford to do that. We need to get all the reasoning out of our heads. We need to get all the reasoning out of our heads because our ways can really mess us up. But when we wait on God and we wait on God's timing, God has a way of honoring faithfulness. And what the Holy Spirit told me in prayer, and I got this message before I ever came here or was around them, was God said, because this church and your pastors have been faithful, it is time for promotion. He told me because they've been faithful when people stabbed them in the back, faithful to love people that hurt them, and to restore people that even spoke bad. But because they've been faithful and they chose as a pastor team to keep their hearts right before the God Almighty. You see, God is looking at the hearts. Does that mean they're perfect? Nope. Of course, in my eyes, they're perfect. But, you know, and in Jesus' eyes, they're perfect. But I'm sure if I hung around them, they'd find flaws in me. Like we were out on the streets the other day and we got lost on the subways things and she says, "You little snap, 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 snap." And I was like getting really tired and so I was tired of going up the ramps and over and then finding out we have the wrong place and up again and over and who knows. We finally asked somebody to show us how to get to the hotel because we had no idea. We were underground in New York. Help! We're out of towners. And then, you know, everywhere we went, it was like, this one's closed. I was like, we knew that an E-train would take us from the hotel to where we were going. Once the E-train was down, we had no idea. Oh, she figured it out, but, you know, I kept going the wrong way, and she kept saying, I kept saying, no, it's this way. She goes, no. Well, anyway, so she found out that I can be a little, but anyway. So I had to repent and tell her I was sorry for being such a snake, you know. So what I'm saying is, but in Christ Jesus, we're perfect, but we still have our little flaws. But when God Almighty looks at the heart, that's what he's looking at. He's looking at the heart. And when you've been faithful to keep your heart right, even when things aren't right, God sees it and he starts honoring faithfulness. So let's go on. I'll show you this. So God spoke to me about what I'm going to pray over. I mean, I already know how I'm going to call people up for prayer. Is that, you know? So you can get your heart ready now. God said, I'm going to just say it now because I'm going there, that when you get through with this message, he told me two things to do. So I'm going to tell you what they are. He told me to pray for the ministry team and have the whole ministry team come up and pray for him because everything's getting ready to change. And then he told me, after I pray for the ministry team, because everything's getting ready to change, then he told me, then pray for anyone that has mountains in their lives that need to be changed. If you know there's a situation in your life, whether it's a cancer or sickness, arthritis, a marriage problem, financial problem, whatever the mountain is that's hitting you, after I pray for the ministry team, then I'm going to pray for people that have mountains. And they're going to go. They're going to go. And God told me that. They're going to go. We're going to do something in the heavenly realm that will change your life forever. Are you hearing me? We're going to speak grace, which is God's grace, to your mountains. And when I shout grace to your mountains, they're going to bow. Because we have power to say to those mountains, be cast into the sea. And if we don't doubt what we pray, they're going to go. And that's all there is to it. We have mountain moving faith, and God wants us to walk in that. Now, go with me to verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hand of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. God has started a great foundation here in this church. God has started a great foundation here in this church. And you see, you can't get to the next position in anything, whether you're a church or an individual, if you don't lay a good foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, your house will fall, tumble over, crack, and whatever. Okay, you follow what I'm saying? But because this church has laid a strong foundation, it has been noticed by other people. It has been noticed by other people. When you lay a foundation that is on the Spirit of God, not on the carnal ways, but by the Spirit of God, and you do everything by the Spirit of God, then you're laying a foundation that God has put the bricks in place, because the house of God is built by Him, not by man. It says, let the Lord build the house, and the laborers will not labor in vain. So even though sometimes it doesn't look like the house is going upright, it's important that you take time to position every single brick. And with change, my message is all about change. With change, sometimes a brick needs to be moved from here to here. Because if the bricks aren't in the right position, even though they're the same size bricks, it has to be exactly where God wants. And we have to keep our heart right and say, well, how come he got that spot or she got that spot? I thought I was supposed to fit there. No, God, through the Spirit, will put the bricks, and he will lay the foundations of our life so everything builds properly. No good foundation, it will crumble. And you are at a crucial place in ministry, this church, and your pastor's at a crucial place of ministry where positioning is going to alter thousands of lives coming into the kingdom. Thousands and thousands of lives coming to Christ. So it goes on. And you're all part of it. You see, God has you connect with the vision. No one can do a vision without God divinely connecting people together. And it says, and the hand of the Lord has laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. So what God has begun, he will finish. Whatever God has begun in your life, he will bring it to completion. That's what's so powerful about our school of ministry. People see, they know and sense that they have a call. They have a sense that they're supposed to do something, but they need sometimes somebody that can see in the spirit realm to kind of help them get focused. And that's what happens. It's not like, it's like I don't do nothing. It's God's doing it. And then we just help people. And that's what pastors are going to be doing. More and more and more of that. They're going to be doing that in the spirit. So, and then I'm also, the Holy Spirit told me I'm supposed to pray for both of you for wisdom. That he told me that I needed to pray for both of you. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit's told me. Okay. So then it goes down and it says in verse 10. It says, and who has despised the day of small things? For the seven have rejoiced to see the plumb line of the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, we cannot despise the day of small beginnings. So as believers, you need to know that if God starts you out small, just handing out tracts, that's how he started me out in ministry, walking up to people's doors, handing out tracts. Little did I know that by handing out tracts, just that I didn't even know how to read, just handing people tracts and saying, here, read it. I didn't even know how to read. That God one day would make me an evangelist. But it started out by handing out tracts, cleaning the toilet bowl at our church. Now, you know, most of you know my story. I had my own corporation. I had my own business. I had a janitorial service that cleaned my building. I could have paid for a janitorial service to clean my pastor's building, but I didn't want to. I wanted to volunteer to put the big gloves on and clean the toilet bowls. Because I understand the principle that if I start in something small in ministry, that if I lay a good foundation of being a servant. You see, servant is what God's looking for. He's not looking for people that say, look at me, who am I? No, he is looking at a willful heart and a servant's heart. Marty and I have this thing where we always talk, my husband Marty, he says, anyone that hooks themselves up to our ministry, first we're going to look into their heart. We have to have people with a pure heart. And second, they have to have a teachable spirit. As long as somebody has a pure heart and a teachable spirit, we can work with them. Because they'll yield to whatever God says. They'll yield. And so that's the key. One of the keys is to keep a pure heart. And that's what your pastors have done. That's why God is promoting them. Okay. And it says the plumb line. Now, a plumb line is something that sets a line so you don't build the house crooked. A plumb line is to make sure all the walls are straight so the foundation don't topple. Well, the plumb line of God is the Word of God. And the Word of God has got to be our standard. So no matter how much you love it or don't love it, if a pastor or a people in leadership see something going wrong in the church and it's not lining up with the plumb line of God's Word, they would be a terrible minister and a terrible pastor if they didn't say something, if they see something going off course. Are you following me? If they see something going off course in your life and they don't say something to you, they will be held accountable before God and he will say, why didn't you speak to them? As leaders and ministers at the fivefold ministry gift, it is our job, according to God and according to his word in Ephesians, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry that they will increase till they become the fullness of Christ. And until everybody in the body of Christ has come to the fullness of Christ, we're not finished. God's still working on me, teaching me what I ought to be. Yeah? You know when he's going to be finished? I mean, I'm getting up there in age, but you know what? He's not finished. I'm constantly learning, constantly changing. Change is something that is extremely hard, but God is saying that the whole body of Christ has got to come into a mode of change. Because everything that you see and know is going to be changed. Everything you see in America is changing. And some of it's not changing to the good. Are you following me? There are things going on behind the scenes that are trying to destroy this country. There are underlying things to destroy America, totally annihilate her. So meanwhile, there are things changing, constantly changing, but we have to be constantly changing, not by the things of the world, but by the things of the Spirit. Because God is going to have a glorious church. And it says, who despises things a day of small beginnings? Because this church has, you know, and I'm not saying this to be rude, it's had small beginnings. And it's gone up and down. But because they've been faithful, when you've been faithful in the small things, God promotes you. And this church has been promoted. Hallelujah. To a higher realm of authority. And there's going to be a whole lot of change going on in the next few weeks or months or however. But I sense it's real quick. Okay, so these seven rejoice to see the plumb land of the hand of the Lord. There are the eyes of the Lord which span to and fro throughout the whole earth. So what God is saying is you need to be prepared for change. Every single one of you need to be prepared for change. But to get change so that you're ready for what's coming to the earth and what's coming to America and what's coming in the spirit realm, you've got to search your hearts. You've got to say, God, change me. You have to be willing to say, Holy Spirit, show me my junk. Show me my attitude of my heart. You see, when there's change, a lot of change, when there's too much change, a lot of people, instead of wanting to change, want to run. You see, when too much change happens too fast, people want to get up and run because they don't want to change. That is not going to help you. You are just changing location, but you're not getting away from the Holy Ghost. No matter where you go. Like the psalmist said, where can I go from your presence, O Lord? So you might as well just face the facts. God is getting us ready. We are running out of time, church. Jesus is returning sooner than most people think. And God has an awesome, great outpouring of his Spirit that is going to come by the spirit realm. And he is trying to get you ready, the church ready, and he is getting people in position. He is getting us in position as if we had a giant puzzle or a giant net. He is connecting people with the right people to have a net that is ready to bring in the greatest harvest of souls that the world has ever seen in history. And the greatest outpouring where one person will go in a mental ward and shout the name of Jesus and everyone will be healed. Where people will be going actually and touching people and they'll just walk by people that are crippled and touch them. Because God's going to pour his spirit out. But he's waiting on us. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
He's not the one holding it back. If he poured his spirit on us the way he's going to have in this last move, we would burn up because we got junk in our lives and we could not hold the anointing. The anointing would be so strong, we'll be going, no more God, no more God. Don't, no more, no more of the fire of God because I can't handle it. So he's just turning it up little by little, little by little. So we're getting used to it. Another level and another level. But now he's saying, I'm speeding it up. I've been given the church long enough to get ready. And they're dragging their feet. So he's going to speed it up. Turn with me to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai is just like a few pages over. Back. Okay. Haggai chapter 2. And verse 3, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? ? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? He's saying, look at the church and what do you see? He said, how do you see this things of God? Is the temple of God like it was supposed to be? We are the temple of God. He was speaking of a regular temple, but he's talking about, are you not the temple of the Holy Spirit? Isn't the temple of God now in the New Testament us? We are the temple of God. And he's saying, how do you see it in comparison to the first church? How do we see the church today in 2012 compared to the church that was a few days after the day of Pentecost? When the church was birthed, where they all fasted and prayed every two days a week, they fasted and prayed, where they would just pray and a voice would say to him, go to Paul. He sees in a vision that you're coming over and laying hands on him. Oh, go to the seaport because Peter's there and he's gonna have a vision of heaven and he's gonna come, Cornelius, and he's gonna tell your whole family and they're all gonna get filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches and he walks down and all the people that he passes, his shadow heals them. So he's saying, what today is the temple of the Holy Spirit in your eyes compared to then? Think about it. Are we seeing that? Are we? No. So it's a question. Do we want that? Of course we do. But in order for us to get to that position and beyond, something has to happen in here. And God's saying he has to reposition us. He has to reposition us. And we, as the body of Christ, have got to line ourselves up with the plumb line. We got to say, is this scriptural? Does this line up with the word of God? And if it don't, get it out of your life. It's not probably the message you guys thought I was going to preach this morning, but. And then it goes on. It says, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it in comparison with it? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Go down to verse 6 now. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it's like, I need a tissue. I don't know what it is about this church. This happens every time I preach in this church. The spirit, not mold. Okay. Maybe it's because so much prayer goes on here. But anyway, it could be mold. But anyway, back to verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more. Well, if you say once more, that means somebody, it's been said to you before, right? So God's trying to get our attention again and again and again and again and again and again. And you know, I know how many times has God spoke to us, get this out of your life, spend more time in prayer, spend more time in the word, spend more time witnessing, spend more time helping the poor, give more than you've given before. You know, he speaks to us in everything from tithes to witnessing and everything else in the whole. He speaks to us. So he's speaking to us once more. And he says, and thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with my glory, says the Lord of hosts. So God is getting ready to pour out his glory on the church. He spoke to me and says, tell the church, get in position, be willing to change, line up with the plumb line, because I am ready to change and shake like I've never shaken the nations. There are things that are going to happen in the finances, in the economy, that is going to shake the roots right out from under us. And if you don't have a good foundation, and right now God is positioning and rearranging ministries. I mean, I can't tell you how many ministries are getting two and three churches and running two or three churches, and how many evangelists are being told to relocate. Like right now, Marty and I are going to be, and we don't understand it, and we don't understand how or why or what's going to happen into the future, but we know that we're hearing God. And then when we see all these changes, we need to be strong enough believers that when we see change, even if we don't understand it, we don't run from it. Change is going to happen because God is giving people positions, and he's giving them new assignments, and me rearranging people's lives, because he is the master builder. And he knows how to put all these bricks in the right positions so that when this stuff starts happening, which is so close, church, it is so close. I cannot say to you how close it is, where God is going to blow his spirit on us. And like on the day of Pentecost, suddenly they were like this, and suddenly they were changed. And suddenly that's going to happen again. It's going to catch us off guard. Boom! But God's only going to use those that are ready. Because he's looking at the hearts. Because it says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro. And they're looking. God's looking. Who's going to be my Gideon army? Who's going to be the ones that I can trust? Who's the ones that are going to let me break them, remold them, not complain, be willing to change? And let me fill that temple with my glory. So it's going to shake, rattle and roll. And you better be ready. I'm serious. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on, and you better have your foundation strong and get in position. Look what it goes on, and it says, the silver is mine. Really? I thought it was mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, I wonder why in the middle of all of this he talks about money. I wonder why in the midst of the temple and the glory of God and a shaking, he's talking about money. Silver and gold represents money. Because he wants us to put all what we have into his kingdom. He wants us to say, you have me, you have my money, you have my time, you have my talent. I'm not holding nothing back. No matter what you want, God, if you want me to sell my house and give all the money into the kingdom, whatever, if you say it, then I know that you have a bigger house for me. If you tell me to give away my car, then I know you have somebody out there that is going to give me a Rolls Royce when I give away my clunker. Because God isn't going to replace it with something less. He's going to present it with more. He says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine. He's saying, I want everything. I want you to let me fill this temple. And let all the attitudes of your heart be pure before me. Because one day, your silver, your gold, your bank accounts are going to be worthless. Not too far off. Are you hearing me? Yes. Worthless. And then you're going to say, I wished I would have put it in the kingdom of God, so souls could have been come into the kingdom, because this happened and I lost. Oh, I mean, you have an example of it. 911, people lost all kinds of money. When the economy went, people's houses became worthless. One you have. So he's speaking to you about everything. It's not, and this message is not about money. It's about he wants everything. He wants you to be willing to change, to cry out to him, to be broken, to be willing to be put in position wherever, and not get attitudes about, well, why is he or why is she or why is that one or why is this one? No. God will put you in position because he knows the gifts and the callings that are in you. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give you, says the Lord, give you peace, says the Lord of hosts. So no matter what happens, no matter what happens with the economy, no matter what happens, no matter what change, whatever you see changing around you, count it all joy. Count everything joy because God knows what he's doing. He knows all the things that are being switched here, switched here, switched here, because it's a season of change. If there's a word for the year 2012, it's like rearrangement and change. So we're ready to catch the glory. And he's making a giant net. People linking together, arm to arm, in covenant relationship, stronger than ever, so that the enemy cannot break through the chain, because the enemy is going to come in like a raging lion in the last days because he knows his time is short. But when we're linked up, he can't touch us. He can't touch you. He can't touch your children. He can't touch your finances because you, he can't touch your finances. He can't touch nothing because you've already dedicated it all to God. It's covered with the Lord's blood because you have a right heart. And God's looking for right hearts right now. Turn with me to Joel. Chapter 2, 15. There's no 15 in Joel. Okay. Joel, chapter 2, verse 15. It says in verse 15, Joel, chapter 2, 15, I'm giving people to get there because some people don't always like, where are those little ones at? Those little prophets things. Okay, all there? Joel 2, 15. Blow the trumpet, concentrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes, let the bridegroom come out of her chambers, where the bride, and the bride from her dressing room. That means, you know what? Listen to me. If the bride is coming out of her dressing room, that means she's already ready. Are you following? We are the bride of Christ. And what goes on in a dressing room? In a dressing room, they put your makeup on. First you shower and get clean. So God is saying, get clean. Because God's looking at the heart. Then he tells you to put on your bridal clothes. First you have to come out of your slumber. Remember the virgins? Five, they were all sleeping. Well, first we got to wake up. And believe me, ready or not, God's glory is coming. It's not that far off. His glory is in us. But when this gets increased tenfold, hundredfold, you're going to be walking and have so much energy. You're going to be floating in the spirit realm. I'm telling you, you're going to be floating so high that you're going to have energy like you've never had before. Like they were talking about me on the subway. We were talking to some people on the subway. And she went and told them my age. But anyway. But you know what? I have energy and energy and energy and energy. And it's not me. Believe me. It's the Spirit of God that just, it's that grace that I'm going to pray over each of you. That shout of grace. It's God's grace and mercy that I spoke about when I first started, that is going to carry you and you're going to do things and exploits that you never dreamt you could do. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are. This, when it hits, it's going to hit. The 5-year-olds are going to be praying for people. They're going to be falling out of the power of God. 2-year-olds will be prophesying. They'll be hardly able to talk and they'll be prophesying. And 90-year-olds and 102-year-olds will still be preaching the gospel. I mean, I'm telling you, it's going to hit everybody from every realm. It's going to be awesome. And you get to be part of it. But you got to get ready now. Because there will be a great falling away of the Christians that aren't ready. When it happens, you're either going to get sucked in, whoo, to the glory of God, or you're going to fall away. So you get ready now. I'm speaking to you as a prophetic word. I'm not talking about 6 months from now. I'm telling you there's change going to happen in the next few days, in the next few weeks, and you better embrace it. Because it's all part of God getting everything ready for what's going to be coming. Embrace it. It's coming. And so then it says, and it says, so it's going to be, look who's going to be here. So the bridegroom is going to come out of her chamber. Well, if you're coming out of the chamber, that means Jesus is coming. He said, no more time to get ready. You've been back there trying to get ready. It is time. The bridegroom is here, and it's time for the bridegroom, the bride, to be ready and adorned and clean and holy and pure, and a church that is white, without spot, without wrinkle, all in position, ready to go forward to meet our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. And then it says in verse 17, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare your people. And do not give your heritage to be a reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where's your God? Now listen to me very carefully. America is trying to stop anyone from saying this word, Jesus. You can say God. 911. You weren't allowed to pray. On the National Day of Prayer, they wouldn't let anyone in the government pray. And yet it's declared the National Day of Prayer, but we can't pray. Our country is becoming socialist. It is a different America. I don't like the way I see it going. And why do you think God says, you pray, let the ministers and the saints of God weep between the porch and the altar? There's the porch out there, right? Front door porch. The altar's here. He's telling you where to pray. Between the porch out there, the front door, and the altar is some space. That means you get together, and I know this church has been doing some praying, but I'm telling you, when God's taken you to another level, and he's taken this church to a higher level, you need to increase the prayer. Well, anytime you go from level to level, from glory to glory, every time God takes you to a higher level, you better increase the prayer, because Satan sends out more demons to try to attack. Anytime you go to another level, you've got to increase the prayer. And what God is saying, for us to see this great outpouring, this great, great outpouring that's going to come, it's going to mean that we got to get serious about prayer meetings. I can't tell you how many churches, I love this church and I love your pastors. And I love what this church is doing, but I cannot tell you. I'm a minister. I get to go to churches all over the place. I cannot tell you how many churches I go to. Just a second. Let me think for a second. Last year, 2011, the only church that I remember that went back and prayed before the service was this one. And I preached every week. And sometimes twice a week. This church is the only church that had a prayer meeting before the service. Or prayed with me. Or prayed for me. Are you following me? You have something very unique here. Because prayer is becoming a byword in churches. If you can get 2-3 people to show up for a prayer meeting in most churches, it's sad. And then they want to know why. Why? Why aren't we being promoted? Because God is going to look to and fro and put people in position. And it's time for this church. The Lord told me this church is being elevated because of faithfulness. Finances are going to come off the charts. People are going to get saved. Lives are going to be changed. Go into a whole nother realm. A whole nother realm. And it says, let the priest and the minister who weep between the porch and the altar, let them say. He's telling us what to pray. Spare your people. Spare the church. Get the church in position. Save the lost. Pray for the government. Why should the nations say that we're approach? Why should the people in this country say, where's your God? And why would they say, where's your God? Why would people that aren't saved say, where's your God? They would only say, where's your God, because they see that we're wimps. If we don't show the fruit and there's no results, and you go and they bring you somebody to minister to that is drug infested, and you pray for them and nothing changes, why wouldn't they say, where's your God? If you pray for the sick and nobody ever gets healed, and yet you preach healing and nobody ever gets healed, why wouldn't they laugh at you and say, where's your God? God's upset with it. So therefore, he is speaking to the church very firmly. I have given you all power and all authority in the name of Jesus Christ to cast out devils, to pray for the sick, to raise the dead. And I want to do this through you. I've already prophesied that you would do it. I already said for you to go out and preach this gospel with the power and the signs and wonder. I gave you the baptism of the Holy Spirit to do it. So why isn't it happening? It's not on God's side. I cut a covenant with you that everything you need on earth is yours. Yes. Is that not true? Yes. God wants us blessed and blessed abundantly. He wants every one of you in here to be a millionaire. Not so you can go get an $8 million home. Well, that wouldn't work out anyway if you only got a million, but... He wants you blessed so that you can be a blessing. And the more you are a blessing, the more blessing comes in. And we are stopping our flow of God's blessings because we're holding on. When you let go of everything you are and you say, God, fill me up. Everything I have, the silver is yours, the gold is yours, my time's yours, my body's yours. Whatever you want me to do, I want you to fill this temple. Change me, rearrange me, break me, do what you have to. I'm not going to have an attitude about what goes on around me. I said, use me, God. Amen. I want to be ready. I want your glory to fill this temple. So I can be a blessing. The body of Christ has become so greedy. It's me, 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 me. That's not the heart of God. It's just not the heart of God. We just had an outreach, you know, with 20 people. I was telling them about it last night. We just went in debt. My husband just, I said, we don't have the money to do this. He goes, we've never had the money to do anything. And I said, yeah, that's true. He said, I have a feeling we're going to have more children to this outreach. So we went and bought 300 more toys. Not that we hadn't already bought a bunch of toys. We'd already bought $600 worth of toys. 600 toys at the tune of $3,000. But he said, we got to get more. And I'm so glad he got more, because we had over 600. We actually had 600 children go through, but 800 gifts disappeared. So anyway, some of those little kids got to somehow. But anyway, because we had about 600 children go through, and we had another 200 or something grown-ups, 200, 300 grown-ups. So we had over 1,000 people. And we put this outreach on with 20 people. 20. And almost 200 people accepted Jesus. But you know what? You have to trust God. Not by might. Not by power. This temple belongs to him. And you were bought with a very expensive price tag. Very, very expensive price tag. The precious blood of our Savior. And when we don't do what God wants us to do, we walk on his blood and insult him. And when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, we insult the Spirit of grace. We weep between the porch and the altar and say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to be a reproach that the nations should rule over them. And why should they say among their people, where's your God? Then the Lord, when he hears us crying out, when God really says, and you really get serious about change me, break me, make me line up to the plumb line of God, and you get serious about it, God will pity, it says, verse 18, then God will be zealous for his land and pity his people, and the Lord will answer from heaven and say to his people, behold, I am sending you the grain, the new wine, the oil, and you shall be satisfied by them, and I will no longer make you a reproach, because the glory of God is going to be so strong on each and every one of us that we are going to do great and awesome exploits. And it goes on to go to the next page or whatever. Go to verse 23. Be glad, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, or in some Bibles it says mediocre. So the book of Acts is mediocre. According to this, God says the book of Acts is mediocre. Come on, if you can believe the book of Acts would be mediocre. Okay, it says, I have given you the former rain mediocre, and that's what it says in the King James, moderately, it says moderately, actually. And he shall cause the rain to come to you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the threshing floors shall be filled with wheat, which represents the harvest. The vats shall overflow with new wine and oil, which means the anointing. And God is going to have his way. Ready or not, God is going to have his way. I need the musicians to come up. And it shall come to pass, go to verse 28. The musicians can come up. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass after that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall have dreams, and young men shall see visions. And upon my manservant and my maidservant, I will pour my spirit out in those days. And God's going to pour his spirit out full strength, because he's wanting the church to get in position. Go with me to chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim this. Just go with me to chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Now, if you're preparing for war, that means you got to do something. That's two stories that I've given you in this message. One, the bridegroom preparing herself to come out of the chamber. Right? So that means you got to be clean, washed up, beautiful. Are you hearing me? God is going to have a beautiful church. He's going to have a beautiful church. The gates of hell should not prevail against the church of God. That's what my Bible says. I don't care what the devil throws. God Almighty has declared that he will have a glorious church, white without spot, without wrinkle. That's that bride coming out. And the gates of hell, no matter what the devil throws at us, is not going to stop it. So you can complain, grumble, mumble, or not change, and the devil will beat you up. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? My heart's desire is that you really take serious this message. Don't take it with just Jones preaching. I'm telling you, come out from this world. Get so sold out for God that he has, you're under his wings and you're under his covering. He will feed you supernaturally. He will make your food never run out. He will give you, he will be blessed. Others might be going down, but you'll be rising up. God's saying, I want you ready. I want you prepared so nothing can hurt you. And now he's saying, he's wanting you to be like an armor, like in a war, because it's not going to be easy. He's saying, prepare. This among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up, my mighty men. You're already gifted and talented. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the covenant of God. You are mighty. And let all the men draw near. Near to who? Near to God. Let them come up and beat their plowshares into swords. and their prune hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Don't ever say you're weak. Start saying, I am strong in the Lord. I'm strong in His might. Assemble and come all nations and gather together all cause your mighty ones to go down there, the Lord. Verse 13. This is what God, why God wants us ready. Verse 13. That's why there's going to be change. And this church is going to go undergo change. Change, change, change. And it's all because you've been faithful. God said this church has been faithful. Faithful. And because they've been faithful, they're not going to have to struggle with money or finances or anything. Because God's going to honor them. He's going to honor this church. But they paid the price. He's going to honor each and every one of you. If you get your lives in position, you're going to see things coming to you. I just told you how we went in debt for this Christmas. And my husband told me not to worry. He said, let's give out groceries too. And I said, oh my gosh, honey. He said, let's give out groceries. So we went down and we gave away 3 tons of groceries. And while we kept adding to the outreach and adding to the outreach, it just kept going up financially and up financially and up financially. And you know, most of you know us, we still have the orphans we support in the Philippines and the orphans we support in Jamaica. Plus we got mission trips and you know, it costs a lot to run a ministry. But you know what? You hear God and obey. And you know what? We went to our mailbox and somebody sent 1,000. Then somebody sent 2,000. So we're still 3,000. But you know what? Marty said, just put it on the card. I said, yeah, well, he says, don't worry about it. We don't have to pay on the card till, I don't know, when I get home. Somehow God's, you know, I ain't worried about it. God says to do something. He'll take care of each of you. Some of you in this church might be undergoing some stress with finances, but in a few minutes, you come up here and whatever those mountains are, they're going. And as this church undergoes change, remember one thing. Don't run. Don't run. It's a God thing. I don't even know what it is. Well, I kind of do. Sort of, yeah, I do. Anyway, they'll tell me about it later. After the service, they'll either tell me you're wacko or they're going to say you're right on. But I have a feeling they're going to tell me I'm right on. Put in the sickle. This is why everything's changing. Listen to me. This verse. This is why God wants us ready. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go down, for the winepress is filled and the vats are overflowed, for the wickedness is great. How many of you believe wickedness is getting great? Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. There are people that are in the valley of decision trying to decide, should they become Hindu? Should they become New Age? There's wickedness, and it's increasing, and it's going to get worser and worser, and the world's ways are going to get darker and darker, but those that are His are going to get brighter and brighter till a bright noonday sun. And that means that the brightness of the church will become so glorious and so radiant as the bride of Christ that people will tremble in our presence and they will no longer say, where is your God? Because signs and wonders and miracles, and they'll have so many people changed and so many things happening. The schools will come to us and want to know what the answer is. The police department will come to us. The mayor himself will come to us and say, there's something about these people that call themselves Christians. They're not doing that right now. But that day is not that far off where the whole country will bow its knee to the glory of God. Because my Bible says this last, he said the early rain was moderate. And when he brings the early rain and the latter rain together, His glory will be manifested around the world. Will you be ready? Will you let God change you? Will you line up with the plumb line of God and be prepared?